Well, we're very pleased to have Daniel Baldané with us this morning. I just want to welcome you, and say thank you. He's an exceptionally busy man. He's responsible for every single country in the world, one way or the other. So we're very pleased he made time to come to Cambridge. And Daniel is General Secretary of the International Fellowship of Evangelical Students. And I'll be asking him a little bit about what that means in a moment. But first of all, can you tell us where you're from and how you became a Christian?
I'm from several countries. It's difficult for me to tell exactly where I'm from. I was born in Chad, but my parents told me that I was conceived in Nigeria. I'm not sure about that. And then we moved to Cameroon for a couple of years and then went back to Chad. And I got married to a lady, the most beautiful lady from the world, from Niger Republic. And we settled in Ivory Coast. We three of our children were born in Ivory Coast, and we adopted one daughter from Togo, and currently living in UK. So you understand why it's difficult for me. So.
And how did you become a Christian, Daniel?
I was born in a Christian family. My father was among the first believers in my country. I will share a little bit about that. I was educated in a Christian family. And when I was seven, I was clear about my relationship with God. It didn't happen in one single day. It was through steps. But at the age of 11, I asked my mother if it is okay for me to come in the church and publicly confess my sins. I knew I was a believer, but it was very clear to me that I have to do that. And then at the age of 11, I decided to confess publicly that I'm a sinner saved by God.
And you became a student. What did you study, and what was the beginnings of your kind of professional career?
I studied three things. I did biology, biology was my major, so I did a PhD in biology. And I also did philosophy and a sense of education because I wanted to be a teacher. So, and those are the three things I did. And you may be interested knowing that my specialty was millipedes. So you can ask me how many legs millipedes have.
Well, we'll certainly let people do that later. What is IFES? I mean, some people here will know. Some may not know. Can you tell us what it is, what it's about?
Basically, IFES is Christian students as one in universities, on campuses, who really think that it is important for them to share the good news of Jesus with their friends. And they organize themselves in small groups, and they have the passion to share the good news of Jesus on universities and colleges. So this is, in essence, what IFES is. And those students are in a different part of the world. They organize themselves as movements. In the UK, you have UCCF. In the United States, you have InterVarsity. In my country, Chad, you have Union des Jeunes Chrétiens, GBU in other places. So IFES is the umbrella organization, an association of all those students who get organized themselves in their countries to share the gospel of Jesus.
I have so many more questions, but I think I'm going to stop and let you speak to us, and we'll be asking questions at different points later in the day.
Thank you. So it's a great pleasure to be here, and as you can realize, I'm not an English speaker, and for me, sharing the gospel in English is a challenge, but it's already a celebration of mission, because this is how people went to my country, without Mundang at all. Mundang is my own language. And God used them to share the gospel with us, using broken Mundang. So I always have this debt in my heart, and this is why I accept to share the gospel with you using my broken English, but also to encourage you, because this is one of the ways to celebrate the power of the cross, who is the message of our mission. And we are going to mission not to do something else. We are going to mission to share the power of the gospel. Yesterday I was in this church with the students, and after the service, as I was walking down, I was impressed by the flow of the people who were going to watch the fireworks. This is a new experience for me, to see such a number of people going to watch the firework. I imagine it was a very, very interesting time, wonderful time. But I ask myself this question: is it possible to see such a number of people attracted by Jesus to come to Jesus and to celebrate Him as they were doing yesterday, coming, enjoying the fireworks? And in Cambridge City, Cambridge is known as an intellectual city, seeing such a number of people going to see the fireworks was impressive. And my thought was, if this can happen, if people from Cambridge can gather with such a passion and excitement around Jesus, this is the essence of our mission. And as I was thinking around that line, so this word from Apostle Paul comes to my mind in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And he wrote this: "For the message of the cross is a foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of the God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent will frustrate." So this is the word that came to my mind when I was walking down the street and seeing all people gathering and celebrating the fireworks. I also thought of the excitement will come next year, because next year is a special year. It's a sport year, and everybody is excited to take part of this event. And this is our world today, celebrating sport, celebrating all kind of things, but giving less attention to Jesus. But this is also our calling as Christians, to share the good news of Jesus to all those people who are not anymore attracted by Jesus' message. This is our responsibility. And the mission week or the mission day is to remind us this conviction that there is no other way to bring transformation, joy, and peace to our societies than Jesus, than the cross. Only the cross can bring a real transformation, can bring salvation to our world today. And as Christians, we are sometimes frustrated living in the secular society, living in a society where most of our friends are hating Jesus, are hating us. we can feel completely down. We can feel discouraged. So the mission week, the mission day, should be a day where we remember ourselves the power of the cross. The day where we need to come back again to the deep conviction that only Jesus can bring transformation. This is our message. When we are talking about mission, the first thing to think about is this conviction that the cross is the only way to bring salvation. If we don't understand, if we don't have that conviction, we cannot go into mission. We cannot engage and commit ourselves to mission with passion. So my message to us this morning is simple. First, mission is about the conviction we have on the power of the cross. The conviction we have that Jesus is the only one who can transform. And this message, according Apostle Paul, is foolish for those who perish. It's unbelievable, because how can people understand that the God, the Son of God, come and die, and through his death and resurrection, life will be brought back to them? It is difficult for them to understand that message. It is difficult for them to accept that message. But Apostle Paul is reminding us that this is the message we have to carry when we are talking about mission. So we need ourselves to have that conviction. We need ourselves to believe that Jesus is the only one who can bring transformation and salvation. We need to deeply believe ourselves that there is no other way people can have to get the real transformation. The success, the apparent success, is just something we will not stand forever. The only thing we will stand is people's life will be saved and transformed. And this is why we can talk about mission. This is why we can encourage each other. This is why we can celebrate mission. The second message I wanted to share with us this morning is God is at work. God is at work. The power of the cross is real, and today God is still at work, as he was at work 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. God is at work. I know that we are frustrated. I know that in Europe you feel down because people are not very much excited about Jesus. I know that the size of the churches are coming down and down. But we need to be encouraged, knowing that God is at work. He is working day after day. He is using people like you to share this message worldwide. For the message of the cross is a foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us as a Christian, we have the message of transformation, and God is still at work. The world doesn't understand, but we understand. And this is why at such occasion, during the mission week or the Sunday for mission, We need to share the stories of God at work in the world. It is real. God is at work. And God is the one who controls the history. And we will never know when He will bring back some revival, but He will do it as He did in the past. He will do it in Europe as He did it in the past because of the power of the cross. And nothing can stop the power of the cross to work in the world. God is the one who controls the world, and He will keep working. And it is important in such a time to share stories about what God is doing worldwide to help us having the hope, keeping the hope in our heart. Because when we are down, when we are frustrated, we can be discouraged. And hearing some stories will help us to get encouraged and also to get engaged. So I wanted to tell some stories of how God is still at work in different places. That may help us to realize that He can use us to do the ministry. The first story is about my people, my own people. I share with you that I speak Mundang. Mundang is my language. So I belong to the Mundang tribe, and we are located in Chad and Cameroon, southwest of Chad and northeast of Cameroon. So it's a group with maybe 100,000 people. And we got to know Jesus because some people had in the heart the calling from God to go to Chad. A small denomination from the United States, nearly 100 years ago, very small denomination from the United States, coming themselves from Norway. They migrated from Norway to the United States. And there, this small denomination had a heart for mission. And they sent one missionary to Chad who left everything. He literally left everything. He went to Chad without speaking the language. He went with two things. One, the conviction of the power of the cross. Secondly, the love of the Mundang people. Those are the only two things he went with. Not even knowing their language, no competencies, but the conviction that the message of the cross can transform people and the love for that people. And he worked for 8 years. During 8 years, no one single convert. It was really hard for him, as it can be on the mission field. And then after 8 years, the power of the cross, when the time come, one person decided to give his life to Jesus after 8 years of hard work. And I will tell you that today there are more Christians in that ethnic group than the whole Christians in that denomination in the United States. I visited that denomination 2 years ago because when I was baptized, I saw the missionary one time and he left. And few years later, I asked my mother, where is the missionary who baptized me? And my mother said to me, I don't know. And 3 years ago, I traveled to the United States and I had a meeting and I said thank you to the Christian community. I told them that United States is my spiritual root. And I explained to them how I became a believer. And I explained to them that a missionary went to my people and shared the gospel. And my father was among those first believers, and I'm only the second generation of Christian. At the end of that meeting, a lady came to me and gave me a big hug. You've cried. And she told me, you are my brother. Would you like to come next year? I may introduce you to your roots. And a year later, so 2 years ago, I went back and I walked to a house, and then two old people were sitting there, husband and wife, and Ron, the missionary who baptized me, was one of them. He was there with his wife. It was a big celebration of the power of God. This is how God can use a small church to do great things. And now we have several thousands and thousands of believers among Mundang people. This is how God used the power of the cross to transform. And this is why mission is very important for us. This is why mission is very key for any church, because God can use even a small church to make a huge impact in His kingdom, using a community, a small community. At that time, there were less than 50 people in that church who sent a missionary. Like the church in Antioch in Acts chapter 13, it was a young church. It was a small church. The church was very, very young. But clearly, God spoke to them through the Holy Spirit and asking them to send their best on the mission field. Their best. I don't know how you will feel in this church if God is calling you to send your senior pastor on the mission field. But this is what exactly happened in the church in Antioch. This is why Paul and Barnabas were sent in the mission field. Because of their conviction on the power of the gospel, because they were ready to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, God sent them to other places to do mission. So the power of the cross should encourage us to be engaged in mission. It's not about our size. It's not about our competencies. It's not about the knowledge we have. It's just about being available to God and to go and to be used by Him. The second story I want to share to encourage you is about every person who can be engaged in mission. When I was a staff worker in West Africa, I was coordinating around 20 countries. And I was living in Abidjan. One day, a young woman, she was 20, she was a student, came to me. Nathalie Wafo was from Cameroon, doing studies in law in Ivory Coast. But she had a deep conviction of the power of the cross. She knew God can transform people through his message of salvation. And she said, Daniel, I want to go to Mauritania as a missionary. I say, how can you move to Mauritania? 99% of the population is Muslim. First, you are a young person, only 20, you are a student. What can you do in Mauritania? Second, you are a woman. How a woman can move to a Muslim country to do a mission work? People will not listen to you. Third, you don't even have a scholarship. What are you going to do? So I tried to discourage Natalie, but she insisted. At some point, she just decided to move to Mauritania. She sent an application to be a student at the University of Mauritania. Her application was accepted, and she just traveled there. Few months later, I received a report from Natalie. She started the first student group in Mauritania in the university. And that was how IFES for the first time started a pioneering work in Mauritania. Can you believe a 20 years old person, a young lady, a student, starting a ministry, a small Bible study group in a Muslim country? And this happened. And Natalie stayed there for maybe 6 or 7 years until she were able to appoint another staff. She finished her studies. She spent 2 or 3 more years there to help the group. And now the movement is going on in Mauritania, sharing the gospel underground with the Mauritanian students. This is because of the power of the cross. When we have the conviction of the power of the cross, nothing can stop us. Our age will not stop us. Our lack of knowledge will not stop us. Our lack of resources will not stop us. We will just go. We will just move on and go to the mission field, because the conviction in our heart is so deep. Mission is first about the conviction in our heart. It's not about being adventurous. It's not about being competent. It's not about being sophisticated. It's about having a deep conviction that Jesus is the only one who can save the world, and that is the conviction would lead us to move to the mission field, despite our weaknesses. And God is actually using the weak things to achieve his purpose, so that the glory will be to him. This is why, when we are sharing the gospel, we need to be cautious. Today, of course, we are living in an atheistic society. And the tendency can be to insist a lot on the arguments, on the intellectual arguments. It is fine to insist, and we have to do it, because we can see Apostle Paul using those arguments. But we need to use those arguments in the context of a deep conviction that God is the one who is going to transform people. Not our intellectual arguments. Not the miracles we are going to perform too. Because in other places, the tendency is to focus on miracles. In the same way, we need to understand that those miracles are not the things who are going to transform people. The things who are going to transform people, only one thing, the cross, the power of the cross. And Jesus is the only one who can make it. And this is actually a source of hope for us, a source of encouragement for us. We may not be a miracle performer. We may not be able in our life to perform one single miracle. But God can still use us to bring people to salvation. We may not be able to articulate intellectually some thoughts in order to convince some atheist, but God can still use us through some simple things, through His love, through the power of the cross, who is foolishness for those who are going to perish. So we need to listen to those stories, to those testimonies, to encourage us, so that we can have the courage and the energy to go into mission. Going into mission is not always easy, because God can send us in hard places. And what will be motivating us if God is asking us to share His message in places who may harm us, in places with high level of risk? What are you going to do if God is calling you to go to Afghanistan, a place, dangerous place? Several people have been killed there. And people are hostile to the gospel. What is going to motivate you? If God calls you to be a Bible translator in some place in Africa, where in a village there will not be electricity or water supply, in places where you will have huge quantity of mosquitoes stopping you to have a quiet night, what are you going to do? In places where you may not have a suitable bed, what are you going to do? Even for me as an African, I had some experiences where I have to wake up during the night and rest from my bed. I remember one time visiting a country. We tried to do ministry there for 10 years, but it was unsuccessful. And I went there for my first visit, and my bed was 5 or 10 hoods like this put together. And that was the only place I had to sleep. So I have to wake up during the night and rest. And the next day, one missionary visited me, and he asked me, "Daniel, where is your bed?" I told him, "This is my bed." And we prayed together, and he left. And about an hour later, he came back with a bed, a normal bed. It was great to enjoy. So what would motivate you? Even for me as an African, it was hard. And for you guys, what would motivate you? to go in those places? What would motivate you to leave your comfort zone, your family? Actually, I didn't tell you that the missionary who went to my people, his son was born in the bush. When his wife was pregnant, they were trying to take her to Cameroon, the nearest city, but you know, the travel condition was hard. And in a village in the bush, the son were born. And finally they managed to bring him back to United States, and the medical doctor told them, please leave your child in United States. If you bring him back, you have few chance for him to survive. And they left that young baby in United States because of their motivation. I'm not suggesting that it was a good thing to be done. I'm just sharing with you that the motivation needs to be strong in our heart. It should be rooted in the real conviction that God, the gospel, is able to bring people into salvation. This is the only thing who can help you to move on. We need to have that serious motivation in order to go to mission. But as I told you, third, everyone can get involved. Each of us can get involved. The story from Natalie from Cameroon can be a good encouragement to us, knowing that we can get involved. We don't need to be specialists. We don't need a special equipment. We need the grace of God, the love of God, the conviction about the power of the cross to get involved. And in the student world, we are seeing wonderful things happening through those simple involvements. Very simple involvements, not complex involvement, but simple. They just take the decision to go. They are not theologians. They are students. They encounter Jesus in their lives. That's all they have as equipment. And what we see, what God is doing through them, it's a source of encouragement. 3 months ago, we had our World Assembly in Poland. And it was fascinating to sit down with those students and listening to their testimony, how they have a passion for mission. I remember meeting with one guy from Burma, Myanmar. He walked 6 days to move to a nearest city where he can catch a flight to attend this conference. How can somebody walk for 6 days? Because of the conviction of the cross. And God enabled him to walk. And he is maybe the one to start the ministry in that place. Everybody can get involved. And God is using ordinary people to do his work, including the students. It's amazing to see what God is doing. We met with somebody from Iran. 3 of them are committed to start the student ministry in Iran. Ordinary people. We are in touch with somebody from Yemen, a difficult place. He is now doing some training in biblical studies to go back to Yemen. I met a young lady from Kazakhstan, and she became a believer from a Muslim background. She was rejected by her family. She was thrown out. In the Muslim world, you say like a dog. And this young lady told me, "Daniel, I wanted to go to Iran to share the gospel with the people there." Ordinary lady, without resources, with empty hands, but her heart is filled with the Holy Spirit, with the love to the Iranians, and with the conviction that the cross is able to transform their lives. We can get involved. We can get involved in prayer. We may not go to the mission field, but if we have the conviction that the cross is the only way to bring transformation to our world, we will kneel down and pray to God. Praying because God is the only one to transform our societies. Yes, we will be doing apologetics, but we know that prayer is vital because only God can touch the heart of an atheist. And we can then get involved in mission in praying every day for those atheists. I am praying regularly for Richard Dawkins. I cannot argue with him, maybe, but I can at least pray for him, and I'm praying for him. I believe that if God's timing is right, he will recognize the Lordship of Jesus. Even though I may not have a strong intellectual arguments to touch him, to convince him, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the cross can touch his heart. And this is why I can contribute. I will not feel down, because I know that the power of the cross can touch his life. This is also why I can pray for Iran. I can pray for North Africa. And we can see the result of prayer. 20 years ago, no one can believe we will have several thousand Christians in places like Tunisia, Algeria. 10 years ago, no one could believe. But today, we have, as IFES, student movements in Algeria. Not 5, not 10, but hundreds and hundreds. They become believers from the Muslim background. It's because you pray for that part of the world. It's not because you have a good knowledge in apologetics to touch the Muslims, but it's because you have been praying. Mission, prayer is doing mission, and everybody can do it. And today, as IFES, you may not believe, but we have local leaders in Tunisia, in Algeria, in Morocco. I mentioned some openness in Yemen, in those places which seems to be very hard. But because of the power of the cross, the Spirit of God is moving there. This is why we need to pray. And this is also why we need to pray, worshiping God, celebrating Him, because What is happening in many places is the result of our prayers. What is happening is the result of our prayer. So we need to keep praying. And everybody can get involved in prayer. God may use you to send you directly. He may use you to pray. He may also use you as a church to partner with some people who are there. And I'm thankful to your church who is using people, supporting them, praying for them. And those people are out there doing the work. You are part of that blessing God is providing. So you cannot only pray, you can go, you can partner. This is how God has been using the church in different ways. Going, praying, partnering with the people who are doing the work there. And this is my encouragement to you this morning. Each of us can contribute in some ways to the mission field. And God is still at work. And coming back to the text from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent will frustrate. And this is what is happening today. Look at the world, our world. Where are the places where the church is growing? Where are those places? From the human being's thinking, those places, most of them, are chaotic places. Look at how their political systems are organized. Africa, Latin America, Asia, it seems to be chaotic. Look at the economy in those places. Poverty, diseases everywhere. Look at the quality of life. It's not the best quality of life. But still, these are the places where the Spirit of God is moving. Isn't it foolish according our human intelligence? But according God's love, according God's sovereignty, according God's history, He is really at work. His power is at work. And the church is not actually a geographical church. The church is a universal church. And even we living in the West, we are part of that wider kingdom God is building, moving from one place to another. The first century after Jesus, the Holy Spirit was moving in an amazing way in Palestine. That was the center of the church. But only one century later, it was like the Spirit of the church was already moving to other places, Rome, Europe. And then later on, it's like the Spirit was moving to the United States. And today, it's like the Spirit is moving in those places, overseas. But we as a believer, we need to see the bigger picture. We need to see the kingdom of God, not just a geographical perspective. And I do believe, as I said at the beginning. Even though the church seems to decrease in Europe, in God's timing, in God's sovereignty, He may revisit us here in a powerful way, in a way we may not expect and plan, because of the power of His love, because of the power of the cross. By the meantime, the church from the south, from the north, from the east, from the west, as the family of God, as the people of God together, we need to celebrate what God is doing. It is God's kingdom, and we are all missionaries from the east, from the south, to celebrate the power of the cross and to be involved in sharing that good news of Jesus. Sharing about the only power to transform our society, to transform our lives, to transform our families. May God encourage us, and may God strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. We don't understand how a man put to death on the cross can save us, can transform our lives forever. It seems to be foolish, but for us who accepted Christ, this is a power, a powerful message. And we ask you, Lord, to help us not to be down, but to joyfully share this good news among all nations, in all places. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege you are giving us to be part of what you are already doing. We recognize that mission is following your path, following you where you are already working. And help us to discern those places where you are already working and to get involved. Help us to take advantage of this privilege to get involved in your work so that we can celebrate again and again the power of the cross, your love, the salvation we have on you. Help us, Lord, not to compromise your message. Help us not to compromise with our world, with lots of attractions, temptations. Help us to focus on you and give us the strength needed. Give us the courage to go and give us the humility to understand that it's not with our own wisdom but from you. I pray that you will use this church. You will continue to bless this church. You will continue to enlarge their mission vision, the vision of your kingdom. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.